Amen. At the conclusion of our service today, amen, we've got some special things. You might have seen the preparations for them as you made your way into the foyer today. But we're hoping many of you will stick around and just have a time of fellowship as we honor our mothers and picture walls and different things that you would be able to take as memories of this day. Amen. But I think it would be fitting, and I think it would be in order if we had all of our mothers, if you would stand. Would all of our mothers please stand in the room? Next few moments, I believe the Lord would desire to speak to hearts and lives that are in this room. Amen. Before we get into the preaching of the word of the Lord, I wonder one more time if we could just sit where you are, but I wonder if you could just lift your hands and maybe close your eyes. And one more time, let's just pray and ask God that our hearts would be prepared and that others' hearts would be prepared in this room today to receive the word of the Lord. Could you pray that right now? Lift your voice and pray. We love you right now, Lord Jesus. Let everyone say amen. We don't know her name. We don't know necessarily where she lived. We don't know precisely how old she was. In fact, we really don't know much about her at all, except for the fact that we do know that she was a mother. She was a mother. We do know that she had grown children, so I personally picture her as I read of her account in Scripture. I personally picture her as a white-haired, elderly lady sitting in a rocking chair in her home. Her house, which I perceive to sit just out on the edge of town, is where she spends most of her time now because she can't really go and do what she used to go and do. It's in this house that she is now waiting. What it is that she's waiting for is that she is waiting for her son to come back home. As she waits, she reminisces about all of the fond memories that her family had in that house. With crystal clear clarity, she can still see and almost hear her children laughing and running and playing through the halls and the yard of the house out back. She recalls the countless stories that they told her afterwards of all of the mischief that they would get into while she was out doing the shopping. She remembers the holidays that they shared together and the meals that they ate together, and she's excited today because her boy is coming back home. Oh, how she longs for her boy to be back in the house again. Oh, how she longs to have him back in the place where he had spent so much of his time. The mere thought of her boy coming back home thrills her soul like nothing else could ever do. And with this excitement in her heart, she slowly gets up from her seat and she shuffles to the window and she peers through the lattice work, expecting any moment for her son to come pulling up in the chariot, for she's so excited. But his chariot is nowhere to be seen. And the sound of those iron wheels on gravel cannot be heard no matter how closely she presses her ear to the window. That son that was to visit her on this precise day, that son that she was so hoping to have back home, this son was a man by the name of Sisera. Sisera, that was her boy's name. And what we need to know about Sisera, stay with me now, what we need to know about Sisera is that he was a captain over the whole army of King Jabin. He was, in fact, one of the most powerful men in all of the kingdom. But what we also know about Sisera is that he was not a very good man, and he was not a godly man at all. He was, in fact, living a life that was against God. He was living a life that was against the things of God and the Word of God. In fact, we find that it was during this very time of our text that his mama was waiting at home. We find that Sisera was leading his army against the people of God, fighting against the very people of God. And yet, in spite of his lack of spirituality, in spite of his lack of love for the things of the Lord, and in spite of the fact that he was currently fighting against God's purpose, in spite of all of that, he still had a mama that loved him. And he had a mama that wanted the best for him. And he had a mother that simply wanted him to come back home. So it is that she gets back up again and she shuffles to the window and she peers down the dusty lane, fully expecting to see her boy riding up, for she so desires to see him. But yet again, there is no chariot on the horizon, and she hears no wheels clicking in the gravel, and her heart sinks just a bit lower. And it is then that we find her saying these words, Judges chapter 5 and verse 28. Judges chapter 5 and verse 28. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot?" The mother wondered why her child hadn't come home yet. And I think I'd get a few amens from some mamas that it didn't matter if her son was the captain over an entire army, he was still her baby. He was still her child. And she was wondering why her child hadn't come home yet. Like all mothers, no doubt would worry, for she simply wants him to come back home. So it is, I speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost today, the mother's desire, very possibly, that is in this room today, for those that she loves to come back home. And just so there's no confusion in the house, when I speak of a godly mother's desire for those that they love to come back home, I'm not talking about an actual home made of wood and brick and mortar. I'm talking about a place of close communion between us and God. I'm talking about the place of freedom and liberty between us and the Savior of our souls. I'm talking about home. I'm talking about a place where we are in right relationship with the Lord. There's no better home like that. I'm talking about a place where we have complete peace and security as it applies to the condition of our souls and to the habitation of our eternities. Home. Come back. Home. David would give discourse concerning this topic of home. And when he said this in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11, Psalms 16 and 11, he says, "In thy presence, home, home, is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures." That's what I, forevermore, that's what I find at home. That's what I find when I get in right relationship with the Savior of my soul. I find fullness of joy. And I find pleasure forevermore. That's home to me. Come on, I'm here to preach to somebody. You might not have had a good home growing up, and everything might not have been well in your home, but my friend, when you come into right relationship with Jesus Christ, you can find a home, you can find a habitation, you can find a dwelling place where there is the fullness of joy. Not a temporary joy, not a fleeting joy, not a fake joy, but a real joy. A real joy that'll be there in the morning when you wake up. Woo. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. So it is. So it is. It's important for us to understand that lives are changed when we get home. You see, lives can never be changed outside of home, but lives are always changed when you get back home. Ooh, hallelujah. When you get back in communion, my friend, you're looking for change in everything else. But what you have to remember is that the only place real change could ever happen is if you get back home. Woo. Come on, you've looked for it for 37 years outside of home, and look at where it's got you. I'm here to tell you right now, it's time for you to come back home, because when you get back home, you're going to find everything you've been looking for. You're going to find the peace. You're going to find the joy. You're going to find the contentment. I'm telling you here, at home is where hearts are mended. At home is where shattered lives are once again pulled back together. At home is where the weary can find rest and the hurting can heal and the lost can be saved. It can only happen at home. Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together. Anybody know I'm preaching true right now? Anybody found what your soul desired when you got back into right relationship with Jesus Christ? Now listen, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I need a witness from somebody in the house that for a period of time in your life, you got away from home. But now you're back home and you can testify back home is way better than out in the world. I said, I need a witness in the Holy Ghost. Just let it be known how much better it is back at home. I tried it. It failed me. I tried it. I was miserable. I tried it. I was addicted. So I came back home. And when I got back home, I found everything that I ever wanted, that I ever needed. Somebody said amen. May be seated. I need more monitor. So now, go back to our text. And we see with great clarity that it did not matter to Sisera's mother how powerful her son was. She just wanted him home. It didn't matter to her that he was captain over all. She just wanted him home. It didn't matter to her that people obeyed his every command. She changed that boy's diaper. She just wanted him home. And yet, as sad as it is, and as torturous as it is to discuss today, if this mother only knew why her son hadn't made it back home yet, her worry and her apprehension and her excitement at his presence would have been replaced very quickly with grief and tears. For her boy was never, ever going to ride up that gravel road again. Because being away from home always takes something from us, but sometimes it takes everything from us. Sin will always steal something from us, but sometimes it steals everything from us. Come on, Jesus. Being away from home will always put us in a painful situation. But if left unchecked and unchanged, it might just lead us to a deadly situation as well. And such was the case for Sisera. For it was that as Sisera was fighting against that which God would have desired for his life, Sisera was leading an army against God. He was leading an army against God's people. Sisera was warring against the very one that he should have been serving. He was warring against the very one he should have been worshiping. And the truth of the matter is this: none of us can fight against God and have an expectation of winning. I know it's Mother's Day, but let me just tell you, you that think you can fight against him and win, ain't ever going to happen. Well, I got this. I can do this. I can live how I want to live. I don't have to do the church thing. I don't have to do the God thing. I don't have to do what I was called to do. I want to live my own life. I want to be my own man. And I'm going to be able to be successful in the doing of it. No, you won't. You cannot fight against God and expect to win. How in the world can the creation expect to win against the Creator? In fact, the Bible would say it like this in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. When we transgress, which means to turn our backs on the things of God, the Word of God, when we reject the Word of God, when we reject the hand of God, when we reject the house of God, when we reject the plan of God, the purpose of God, the Bible tells us that our ways will be hard. It may be the life that you have chosen for yourself, but it's going to be a life that is fraught with pain and tears. I need an amen from somebody. We may have gotten what we wanted, but in the getting of what we wanted, we opened doors to so much hurt. We opened doors to so much regret. We opened doors to so much suffering. Suffering that never had to be. Pain that we were never meant to experience. Things that we never had to go through if we would have just stayed at home. But we wanted to do it our way and not God's way. We wanted to get what we wanted instead of what God wanted for us. We wanted to plan out our own lives instead of allowing the hand of the Lord to direct the steps of us. So we got to go where we wanted to go, and we got to experience what we got to experience. But in the end, we lost everything beautiful and precious. So we sit here today hurting, and we sit here today broken. And I've seen it 100 times, so you're not fooling me today. You're not fooling me by acting like everything's fine. See, the reality is what happens is people want to do what they want to do, and they end up living lives of hurt and regret and tears, but they don't want anybody to know it because they don't want to own up to the fact that they made a mistake. So they come to the house on a Mother's Day and they act like everything's fine. You're fooling nobody. Because I don't have to know your story to know the Word. And the Word says the way of a transgressor is hard. So if we have transgressed against the word of the Lord, that means our lives. So it is. The Lord's talking to us right now. So it is that here we find Sisera, and he's leading this army. He's leading this army against the people of God. And he's warring against the plan of God and the word of God. And as we've already mentioned, that life is never going to end well. So we find that Sisera leading this army, and his army is soundly defeated. So much so that everybody turns, those that are left to live, they turn and they run in fear and they retreat. And Sisera runs off by, he's the captain, he's supposed to be leading the army, but he flees in fear. He's all by himself and he's running in retreat for his very life. And it's a pretty graphic story, and so I'm not going to give much detail to it. You can read it for yourself. But in his hurried state to find a place to hide from his enemy and his adversary, or who he thought his enemy was, he comes to a tent of an individual that he thought was on his side. And he thought it was a safe place to be. But what he did not know, that it was actually the habitation of his adversaries, the very ones that he was running from. The Bible says that he came in and they fed him something to drink, and it calmed his body and calmed his fevered mind, and he dozes off and he begins to sleep. And they creep over to where he was in his sleep and they kill him. So at the time that he should have been coming back home to the place where his mother wanted him to be, he's now lying dead in the tent of a stranger. And his mama looks through the window, not knowing that his life's blood is pouring out on that sandy floor. And she looks through the window. Why is his chariot so long in coming? My boy should have been here by now. So excited about him coming back home. If I may, I'd like to speak for my remaining time on behalf of every mother who has children here today. Maybe you have turned your back on the things of God. For some of you, this church is home. But you've gotten away from this place, and more importantly, you've gotten away from the God of this place. To others, this place has never been what you would have personally considered home. This building, this might be your first time here, but oh, how many times your mother would pray that it would be. But whether this church is or it isn't that which you would consider home, the church and the things of God and the Word of God is the place that we all need to return back to. The Word of God would speak to this very fact when it says to those that are afar off, Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may, what? Return. Oh, we don't got it up there. Jeremiah 36 and 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and I will forgive their sin. Hear me, when understanding the judgment and the penalty of living away from God, my friend, it should motivate us. It should compel all of us. I'm not just preaching to three or four. I'm preaching to me today. I'm preaching to all of us in this room. It should compel all of us to return back to the one that can forgive us, can return back to the one who can cover our sin with the blood that he shed on Calvary. It should be something within all of us that says, I've got to return back to the one who loved me enough to robe himself in flesh and die on a cross so that my sins could be forever dealt with. I've got to return back. Home. So it is. There's a cry going forth in this house today. Return, return, return. That cry, that cry, that cry goes forth every time a mother looks at the seat next to her on a Sunday, but does not see the ones that she loves the most sitting with her. Like Sisera's mother, your mother is not concerned about what you've accomplished. Your mother is not concerned about what you have done in this worldly system. Your mother's not concerned about how much money you've made, how many degrees you have. She doesn't care how prestigious you are. She doesn't care what you've accomplished or what you've accumulated in life. Your mother, the word of the Lord would speak well your mother's heart today when it says in 3 John, chapter 1 and verse 4. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. She doesn't care about your new cars. She doesn't care about your 401s. She doesn't care about what you've accomplished in this life. You want to know the thing that's going to give her joy? She's the greatest joy is when she knows my children are walking in truth. My children have come back home. She looks out the window of her soul every Sunday, peers through the lattice work of her mind, and she says, why is my son so long in coming home? She looks at the back doors, does not see her daughter make it through, does not see those that she loves the most sitting next to her on a pew on a Sunday, and she asks the question, if only to herself, why? Is it taking them so long to come back home? Why are my children still living for an adversary that is doing nothing but stealing and killing and destroying the very fabric of their being when they could be here to the one who will give them joy unspeakable and a peace that passeth all understanding? Why are they taking so long to come back home? I'm almost done. Because greater than them raising you to be good, moral, upright citizens, they want to make sure my children are ready for the rapture. Hear me. I know everybody's got a different story, but most, not all, but most, mamas made sure that we were ready to meet this world for the first time. They prepared themselves. They got it all in order. They made sure everything was so that we can meet this world for the first time. They made sure that we were ready for our first day of school. They made sure we had the books and the backpacks. Some of you don't even know what trapper keepers are. But they made sure we had the Velcro shoes when we couldn't tie our own. They made sure we had the crayons, and they made sure we were ready for the first day of school. They made sure we were ready for our first date. They made sure we were ready for our wedding day. They made sure we were ready. And that same mother is praying and interceding on behalf today so that we'll be ready when Jesus comes. Because it means a whole lot more to her for you to be ready for your second home than it was for her for you to be ready for your first home. So it is. So it is. I know it's Mother's Day. You came thinking it was going to be Mother's Day and just whatever. I don't know what you thought. But the reason why you're here today is not because your mama wanted you to be here. Even though you're sitting on the pew saying that's exactly why I'm here. It's not at all the reason why. The reason why you're here right now is because God has given you another chance. He wanted one more time for you to be reintroduced to that old familiar feeling of what home is like. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since you felt his presence. It's been a long time since you've been in an apostolic service. It's been a long time since you've been and encountered the presence of the Lord. And so just one more time, he's saying to you, you can do what you want to do. I gave you a free will. You can do however you want to do. You can live however you want to live. You can go wherever you want to go. But in the process of you doing that, I just wanted you to feel it one more time. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know if you're going to accept it or not. I don't know if you're going to pray. I don't know if you're going to run to an altar. I don't know if you're going to repent. I don't know if you're going to get right with God. I don't know if you're going to get baptized. I don't know if you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I just wanted you to feel it. I just wanted you to know I hadn't left you. I just wanted you to know I still love you and I'm here for you. And even though you turned your back on me 1,000 times, I've never turned my back on you once. I just wanted you to know that. Do what you want with it, but when you get in your car, if you reject it all again, when you get in your car, just know he's going with you. And when you go to bed tonight, I'm here. And when you wake up in the morning, I'm here. Reject me, disregard me, criticize me, condemn me. You're not doing anything to me that's not already been done at the cross. And it's the cross that covers everything you're doing. You can't walk away from him. You can't walk away from him. You can't walk away from him. You may continue your life, and your life may lead you to some very bad roads. And like Sisera, your life may lead you to an untimely end away from God. But the whole time you're going down the wrong road, the Lord will be right there with you. Change. Change. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Joy's back the other way. What you're looking for is back the other way. What you're longing for is back the other way. Back at home. Ilobokotoye. You're going the wrong way, sir. You're going the wrong way. Ma'am, you're just going the wrong way. Home is back the other way. All you got to do is turn around. All you got to do. Man, the presence of the Lord is here. But just stand to your feet right now. God, I pray for the convicting power of your Spirit to sweep across this house right now. What everyone does with it, what I do with it, that's up to me, and that's up to the individuals in this room. But I pray right now for the convicting power of your Spirit to move. to sweep from side to side, from front to back. Come on, I need some interceding mamas right now. I need some mamas that know how to intercede. Come on, even if your babies aren't in the room, intercede. If you intercede for somebody else's babies, God will lay it upon somebody else to intercede for yours.